So, here we are again. Episode 39 on Monday, the 19th of July, 2021. Seems to be going faster and faster, doesn't it? Until it will be the end of the year and it will be absolutely mental. It's going far too fast for my liking. It slowed down a bit this weekend for me though, because I was out doing some amazing stuff, grounding in nature. I haven't managed to write anything down, but I've had quite a jam-packed weekend, so I'm hoping that I'll just be able to ramble on for some amount of time, and if we don't get to ramble on for some amount of time, then we'll just see how it goes. I've literally just got back home. It's like 7 o'clock at night, even though I left my campsite at like, what time did I leave? About 20 to 9 this morning, I left my campsite. And then I drove out to my other not so little boy anymore, who is going to be 17, which still totally blows my mind. It's absolutely mental, because I remember when I was his age, just the way to have a child, and I was thinking, oh my God, when I'm 34 years old, I'm going to have a 17-year-old. Like, that is absolutely mental. And now that we're here and I am 34 years old and I've got a 17-year-old kid, well, he's no longer a kid, is he? Blows my mind a little bit. But I went up to go and see him. He was meant to be coming down this weekend, but I don't blame him, to be quite honest. I bet it's well boring when he comes down here, because he's got no friends and he's at that age now where you don't really want to be spending time with your dad. Like, the odd occasion's alright, but when you're down here for a week, you've got no friends and all your pals are back where you stay. Yeah, I can completely understand why he didn't want to come down. So I went and met him this morning. I was actually quite amazed, because I got to his house at like 9:20, he woke up and got up. Now, for a teenager, I was quite surprised that he got up. I mean, he was DJing the night before as well, and getting fed alcohol as well. Oof. But yeah, he didn't have a hangover, so he claimed, but he just said that he felt tired. So hopefully he went back home and got a nap or something like that, and now he's feeling a lot better. But we went and when I got to his house, I was like, oh, we might, I saw a castle, kind of like, well, I didn't see a castle, I saw a sign for a castle, and I was like, oh, there's a this find later castle, and he's like, Findler, and alright. Mr. Hi, just, yeah, it was pretty funny. Findler Castle. So we went up and checked that. I've actually saw it on TikTok like a few weeks back, and then I had a look where it was on the map and thought, that is absolutely miles away. It was a perfect opportunity, because it's not too far from my teenage boy's house. So we went and explored that, and that was pretty cool. You can get down into some of the rooms and stuff like that, but yeah, I mean, it is a ruin right on the side of a cliff, so you need to watch. And there was a couple of bits where you can walk down into some of the rooms. And it was just, yeah, it was absolutely fascinating, actually. Like, really, really nice. And that's what I was saying to him. It would be like, God, could you imagine this place on, like, a winter day while the waves are like roaring in and battering against the cliffs and everything like that. I bet it was some view. Actually, let's go and have a quick look, because the history was pretty, the history was quite good on it, actually. So Finlar Castle is the old seat of the Earls of Finlar and Seafield, sitting on a 50-foot high cliff overlooking the Moray Firth on the coast of Banff and Buchan, Aberdeenshire, Scotland. It lies about 15 kilometres west of Banff, near the village of Sandend, between Cullen and Portsoy. The cliffs here contain quartz. I thought that actually, because when we were walking up, there was it's like they've still got the old steps there, and it looks like they're made of quartz. Yeah, that's really fascinating actually, that's came out. So the name Finlar is derived from the Scots Gaelic words fionn, which is white, and litter, cliff or steep slope. So yeah, the first historical reference to the castle is from 1246. King Alexander III of Scotland repaired this castle in the 1260s in preparation for an invasion by King Hakon IV of Norway. The Vikings took and held the castle for some time. The castle remains that are still there are from the 14th century rebuilding, when the castle was redesigned based on Roslyn Castle model. And James V of Scotland visited Finlar in November 1535 after a pilgrim to Tain. In September 1562, Mary, Queen of Scots, sent an army equipped with artillery from Dunbar Castle to besiege Finlar, which was held against her by John Gordon of Finlar, a son of the Earl of Huntly. When Mary was nearby on 20th September, she had sent her trumpeter messenger to deliver the castle to the captain of her guard, but he was refused. The previous Laird of Findlay, an Ogilvy, had been a master of the household of Mary of Guise. He lost his inheritance following sexual misconduct with his mother-in-law, and making a plan to imprison his father in a cellar to deprive him of sleep and drive him insane to obtain his lands. After his father's death, his mother married John Gordon, who then took possession of the castle and lands and promptly imprisoned her. In October, the Earl of Huntly sent Mary the keys of Findlay and Auchendoun, but she was suspicious of the low status of the messenger. The castle is a scheduled monument. There was a bear. I wonder if I took a photo. I think I did take a photo, but I don't know whether I took a photo of the whole thing. Yeah, so it says, the ruined castle you see before you dates from the 15th century, possibly incorporating elements of a late 14th century structure, although it is thought that this has been the site of a stronghold since at least the late 13th century. The reconstruction drawing illustrates the Finlar Castle of 1455. So yeah, so it's got a nice little drawing that you guys can't see because we're on a podcast. But if you want to have a look, go onto my Instagram, Smokey90, and I'll post the photos up there. I took some pretty amazing photos actually, so I will post them all up there. I've also got some photos of my camping trip and all that I'll post up there as well. I've got some videos as well that I need to edit down, that it'll probably will be until I get the laptop, but then they'll be going up on YouTube. But I will keep you guys updated on that one as well. So, when Sir Walter Ogilvy of Auchlevin was granted a license by King James II to add to and strengthen the fortification of his castle of Findlay, The castle rock, which sits 50 feet below the level of the mainland cliff from which it is reached, is surrounded by steep cliffs reaching heights of 90 feet. In two places, the rock is cut across, each gap having once been spanned by a bridge. Access to the castle was restricted to foot traffic. Thus, a forecourt was formed on the mainland. The main castle building is on a palace plan built against the west side of the rock. The main floor is level with the summit of the rock and raised above two tiers of vaulted structures. In the mid-16th century, possession of the lands of Findlay passed from the Ogilvy family to the Gordons, resulting in a bitter feud between the families. Alexander Ogilvy disinherited his son James Ogilvy of Cardell, master of the household to Mary Queen of Scots, in favour of Sir John Gordon, third son of the Earl of Huntly, and suitor for the hand of Mary Queen of Scots. And then, of course, I haven't got the other bit, but it says that they went to war or something like that, and then the battle just next to Banchory, I think it was, and he died. And then I think he got passed back to the... But I will definitely post up these photos and the photos of my camping trip up on my Instagram, which is Smokey90. So if you want to give me a follow, then just go away and do that, and you will see the photos of this castle. Because, I mean, it's pretty stunning. I would highly recommend, if you are in the area, going and having a look. And the fact that it's got quartz now makes me want to go back. I wanted to hammer out a bit on the stairwell. Like, I mean, because there's loads. You can totally see it everywhere. So I was like, oh, well, what a hammer that. And then after we had a look around the castle, we noticed that there was a cliff, a cave that you could see, like, down. So there's, like, a little pathway down to, like, a stony beach. So me and the big boy went and done that. And then we went into the cave, got some cool photos in the cave and everything as well. So it was pretty spectacular. So yeah, and then I went up to my mum's, because we've got family visiting down from Skye at the moment, so we were in seeing them, and I was getting slagged off about my spirituality and my angels, but it didn't really bother me. But they were all fascinated. They wanted to go and do the taking the photo in the mirror with your flash on in the pitch black to see if they had any auras. So they wanted to go and see that. So they were quite fascinated about that. And then we were talking about reincarnating, and we were talking about some other stuff. So I think we're actually going some cold water dip sea swimming on Wednesday when I head back out, because I think that another set can, like, some more extended family are coming out to see the family that's down from Skye, so that'll be really good. Get some cold water swimming. I've done some practicing over the weekend as well, but I only went in once, and it was absolutely freezing. But yeah, I managed to stay in for about 20 minutes and got that done. So, but yeah, like, I went and done my solo camping trip this weekend. I went down to a beach just next to Pennin. I don't even know how to pronounce the beach. It's quite a difficult one. Let's see if I can call Yakin Beach. And that's where I was. It was it was absolutely stunning. Well, me and the other little boy, my little toddler, we went down there and checked. We went down and checked there last Wednesday to see if it was going to be all right for camping. And he got picked up on Friday morning, and then I went out for my run because my ankle is better, and managed to push myself through 5K, came back, had a cold shower, got all my stuff ready, and then just left. I had to go up to my mates, because the last time that we were camping, I took my little girl, my stepdaughter, and her friend. They came on, so we went on the Friday Saturday and then back home on the Sunday, so they came out on the Saturday, but I had completely forgotten that most of my camping stuff was in the back seat, so when they got in the car, I didn't have space to take everything. So my mate, he took a trailer, so he was able to chuck some of my stuff in with his car because he's got a bigger car than I do, so he was able to take it. So I needed to go out to his on the Friday to pick up a few, like my blow-up bed and a few of the camping chairs, and I think that's all that I took actually. And then after that, yeah, I'd done the, what was it, about an hour and 15 minute drive from where he stays after that. So went and drove out there, got down to my spot, no one was in. Sorry, I feel like I'm gonna yawn. No one was in my spot, which was great. I got down there and managed to, oh well, there was actually, because well, when I first got there, I was like, nobody's in my spot. But then when I set up my tent, I noticed that I wasn't getting a phone signal because you were right next to the cliff. But if I moved, like, I don't know, like 20 foot in front of me, then, or 20 to 50 feet in front of me, like, I'm not very good at judging. It wasn't that far though, it was like, no, it was probably just a couple of meter sticks actually. It wasn't that, like maybe 3 meter sticks in front of me. Then I got 4G and 2 bar. So when the people who were sitting there left, when everyone started going home, then I moved my tent forward and got into that bit so that I didn't need to keep on walking over to that bit. I could just lie in my tent. Yeah, there we go. I knew it was coming. So yeah, so I could lie in my tent and then still have my phone and everything. And of course, kind of like I'm sitting there. I got my tent set up, got my chair out, got my counselling book out, and I'm just sitting in the sun, and I can feel my head start getting sore, and I'm like, what? Like, why have I got a headache? And kind of like I was drinking plenty of water, I had some food, and this headache just kept on. It was really, really bad at one point. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, I haven't had my coffee. And yeah, I can like I drink coffee every day. Well, I mean, you guys know because I drink coffee on the podcast. You've probably heard me gulping it down my throat. So yeah, so like I drink coffee. So not having a coffee, it gives me a migraine, like really, really bad migraine. And like before I noticed that it was the coffee, this would go on to like about 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was like, well, I can't have a coffee now because then it's gonna make me stay up all night basically. So I tried to push through it. Sorry, it's been a tough weekend. So yeah, so I tried to push through it, but then like about 6 o'clock, I total thought I was gonna be sick. Like my head was just absolutely pounding. My little boy phoned me to say goodnight and everything like that, and like I had to get off the phone because the light was just really, really bad. It was just, yeah, it was making me feel sick. And of course, kind of like most people left around about 4 or 5, but then when it got to about 5:30, more people started coming down. Like there was a few girls who came down with their wet boards and the wet suits, and they went swimming. And then when they came back, they started having a barbecue and they were playing music. And then more kids came down. So when they were going in the water, they're all screaming. I'm lying in my tent and it's absolutely roasting as well. I think it got up to about 27, 28 when I was there. So like my tent is absolutely roasting. So kind of like I've got the door open, but then I'm like, I'm gonna need to go to sleep. I'm gonna need to have like a lie down and see if I can shift this migraine. So kind of like I closed up the tent, and of course sitting in the roasting hot tent, while I've got music blaring and I've got kids screaming and everything like that, and it's like, oh my God, my head is just absolutely pounding. But I managed, like, I fell asleep a couple of times, kind of like I fell asleep for like an hour or something like that, and I woke up and my head was still pounding, and then I fell back asleep and woke up around about 10 o'clock, I think. And then I felt a bit better then, so kind of like I managed to grab some food, and then yeah, I got a phone call from the special woman in my life, and then that was fine. So kind of like I got up out of the tent and had a fire, and then sat there speaking to her until the night sky came in, and it was absolutely stunning. Could see like Jupiter and Saturn, saw the International Space Station as well, saw another satellite after that as well. And that's it, kind of like I really missed, like, it was really nice seeing the night sky, because normally I don't see it in Aberdeen, like in the summer kind of time, I don't really look out for the stars, because there's not much point, because by the time that I go to my bed, it's dark. So, and I mean, it's been quite overcast the past few weeks, so I don't really look out for the stars. It's more an autumn thing that I kind of like look out for. So the fact that kind of like I could sit there on my seat and I had a fire and I could totally see like Jupiter like just above the cliff that I was looking out to, it was stunning. As I said, the photos will go up onto Instagram, so it's Smokey9E, just like my TikTok, but you'll see the photos there. Absolutely stunning. I took a photo as well of the night sky, so you can see Jupiter and I think you can see Saturn. I'm not too sure. You'll need to have a look. But I will get them posted up after I've done this so that you can see. And then the next day, kind of like I woke up pretty early. I can't even remember what time I woke up, like about 6 or 7. There was another family who were camping, I think it was like a German family or something like that, because he came over and asked me, and he was like, "Oh, are you staying here tonight?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Are you?" And he was like, "Yeah, we're thinking about it." And I was like, "Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous, isn't it?" Because that's it. Like, honestly, God, the view was absolutely stunning. I mean, you're looking out. There's cliffs right next to you, and it's like a little beach that you're secluded in with all the cliffs, and then you can see Pennon in the distance, and you can see Fraserburgh even further in the distance, and yeah, just paradise, basically, just ultimate paradise. So, and I was up on Saturday. I got up, had my coffee. I was like, I'm not doing that again. So kind of like, yeah, boiled the water instantly, got some coffee, and then I went up to the car because I needed to go to the toilet, and there's a public toilet in Pennon. So I drove over there, stayed in the car for a bit, like charging my phone, and my watch, and my power bank, but they didn't get that much of a charge. I think I got like about 20%, and then I went back down to the tent, kind of like put that stuff back in the tent, and then went out exploring a little bit. I heard that there was a cave that you could get to, and I thought it was right around, basically, that you needed to keep, like, there was a bit on the side where you could walk around when the tide was low. So I thought it was around there, but then when I got right around, it was like, oh, like there's no cave here. But then there was a couple of guys when I was walking back, there was a couple of guys on the not the boogie boards, on the paddle boards, and they were trying to get up like another little cave bitty. So I asked them, I was like, "Whereabouts is this cave?" And they were like, "Oh, it's right at the start of the bit. As soon as you go on top of that bit, you've went too far." So I was like, "All right, okay." And then they were like, "Yeah, but you might get your feet a bit wet. You might need like flip flops or something like that." But I went in my trainers anyway. I did get a bit wet. I ended up slipping into the water. And hopefully, like I took my camera, I took the little GoPro camera thing that I've got, and I took some footage then, so you can probably hear me slipping into the water when that finally goes up onto YouTube. So I went through there, was exploring in through there, got into like this other massive bit that was into another opening, and then I climbed up onto some rocks and then got around to another bit that you'll be able to see. All the photos are going to go up, and you'll hopefully see it properly when I get the laptop and I can do the YouTube video. And so I climbed up onto there and just sat up there. My little boy phoned me, which was nice. I showed him how clear the water was, sat there talking to him for a little bit, and then yeah, I needed to tell him that I needed to get back before the tide came up and I got stuck. So managed to get back through, went back to the tent. I got out my book again and just sat outside in the tent. I sat outside of the tent in my chair with my book and my water and sat there reading some of that. I spoke to a woman who was she was up from Northumberland. So she was saying that she was up doing some training course or something like that, and she said that she had typed in like amazing beaches on the Aberdeenshire coast, and that one came up. So she came down, she'd done some swimming, and then she was pointing out the seals and stuff, and I told her, I was like, whereabouts are you staying? And she was like, oh, I'm next to Banchory. I was like, well, if you're going into Aberdeen, go and have a look at the Torry Battery, because you'll hopefully go up there and see the dolphins. The dolphins, if you go up to the Torry Battery, you can see the dolphins just coming out the harbour wall. Well, not coming out the harbour wall, but they're right next to the harbour wall. I go there quite a lot. It's absolutely amazing. If you've never been, I would highly recommend it. If you are at the northeast of Scotland, go and check out the dolphins up at the Torry Batteries, because it is absolutely incredible. Just seeing that kind of wildlife, seeing them jumping and playing, and it's amazing. Honestly, go check it out. I highly recommend it to you. Remember, we need to appreciate the small things. So go and check that kind of stuff out, because it's amazing getting to see dolphins and stuff like that in their own natural habitat. It is amazing. So I said to her there, I was like, go and check that out. So I think she got out her phone and typed it in, and she was like, yeah, I'm definitely gonna go there. And then when she left, she was like, oh, see you later. And then yeah, I was talking to some Malaysian guy as well, because when I was up charging my phone, him and his wife and his kids were gonna go down a path that it leads you down onto the beach, but it's a bit ropey. So I was like, are you heading down to the beach? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, well, go behind where my car is. Like, there's a set of stairs there, and then you get down onto the proper beach bay down there. So when I got down at my tent, he was setting up like his tent. I think they got a tent just for, like getting changed and all that kind of stuff. So he was like, oh, do you mind if I cut if like I set up here? And I was like, nah, not at all, pal, on you go. So I was talking to him, he was ad hocing for offshore, and they stayed pretty close. So he said goodbye when they left with his kids and all that, and yeah, kind of like sitting there reading my book. And then I got on the trunks and went for a swim. That was challenging. I managed to get the water past my privates, but then I just the fear gripped a hold of me to kind of like, just get in swimming. But then I done it. I just got in, kind of like done breaststroke, and the whole bah! Like, see, when it hits your back, it's absolutely horrible. And then I walked out again to set my watch, because my watch was like, oh, you're doing a swim, do you want to do it? And I couldn't press it because my fingers were all wet and everything. So I went back out, grabbed my towel, like dried it all off, set my watch off, and then went back in. But just after being out for like that 5 seconds, because I left my towel just next to the rocks, basically, like I didn't leave it up next to my tent. And yeah, just being out for that 5 seconds, getting back in again was absolutely horrible. It was so cold. But then, yeah, I stayed in for about 20 minutes swimming around. Once you're in, it's fine. It's just the getting in part. I think if you can jump in and you can just start swimming, then it gets that fear away, doesn't it? Like, it's so much easier just doing it that way. But the tide was out, so you couldn't really jump in. There was a couple of Germans there as well who can like they walked past me where I was camping, and the guy said to me, he was like, "Oh, you're looking really comfy there," and I was like, "Yeah, this is absolute class." And then they both kind of like got changed in like their swim costumes and stuff, and then they had like the blow up boy things that they had, and then they were just gone. Kind of like they came swimming and then around the side and all that kind of stuff, doing like massive like deep sea swimming and all that kind of stuff, and I just couldn't do that. Like, I think as soon as I can't see the bottom of the sea, then it just starts to freak me the hell out. And it's like, nah, I will pass on that opportunity. But they were gone for ages. Like, they were gone for at least a good half an hour, 45 minutes or something. And then they came back and then they fell asleep behind the tent, like just leaning up against the rocks once they warmed up and everything. And then there was another family who came down, and they set up their tent just behind me, and I was like, oh, they're probably just setting up a tent just for nothing. But then yeah, they camped behind me last night. The other family who was camping the night before, they left, and then yeah, so that happened. And then I went out for another walk. I climbed up the cliff bay. Well, not climbed up, there was a little path, but I mean, it was still pretty steep. You still had to climb a little bit. So we got up to the top, and then walking around the side, I noticed that there was another cave bay, so you could walk down there as well. So I went and done that. Walked into that cave. Totally smelled like something was dying in there, though. It smelled bloody horrible. And then, you couldn't go that far because it was in the water and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully you'll get to see when I do post up the videos onto YouTube. And then went back up to the car to go and charge all my equipment. I stayed up there for, God, like a good hour and a half, basically running my engine, just charging absolutely everything. And then got back down to the tent, cooked some dinner, watched the view. And then everyone started to leave. It started to get a bit overcast by then. And then after that, more people came down. I think there was a couple of older ladies who came down, and they went in swimming. It was funny though, their husbands and stuff like that. It was what was it? The guy went and touched it, and he was like, "Oh, that's totally roasting. That's absolutely fine and everything." And the woman was like, "Oh, well, you'll be coming in with us then." And he was like, "Ah, oh, no, I didn't take my swimming trunks and stuff, so I'll just leave it to you guys." And then yeah, like you could see them walking in and trying to get in, and it was all cold, and they were like, "No, that's it." But they did actually do it, and then once they were swimming, they came back and they were like, "Oh, how long were we in for?" And one of the husbands was like, "Oh, about a minute or something like that." Yeah, it was pretty funny. It's pretty funny listening to like people watching and all that. I just hope that no one thought that I was the dodgy kind of like pedo who was sitting there by himself watching the kids, because I wasn't. That's definitely not what I was doing. Like, definitely not. But you always get that kind of thought while you're the weirdo who's camping there by himself, not really speaking to anybody. But it was really, really good, actually. Really good. I really enjoyed kind of like just being there with my mind. And I spoke to people when they spoke to me. But not many people did, to be quite honest. Like, I had a couple of conversations with a few people. I spoke to the family who was well, I spoke to the family the night before on the Saturday, yesterday, and basically asked like whereabouts are we peeing, but so that we're all kind of like heading to the same kind of spot basically. And so we came to that arrangement because I didn't really want to go behind their tent and just start pissing where I had been pissing before. So I was like, I better just ask him whereabouts are we going to the toilet. So yeah, so he laughed and he was like, "Yeah, that's a good plan actually, make it a designated piss spot." So yeah, so I spoke to them then, and then in the morning, well, it rained last night, so kind of like I got woken up quite a few times with the rain on my tent. And when I noticed them making their tent. It was just one of those pop-up ones that wasn't very waterproof, so I was thinking, oh no, it's absolutely pishing it down now, like, so hopefully their tent handled it. So when I woke up this morning, I said to them, I was like, oh, like, how did your tent hold up with the rain and everything? And he was like, yeah, it got a bit wet inside, like, I think just down at the sides and stuff like that, but it wasn't like, we weren't soaking soaking. It was like, oh well, that's fine. And then we were speaking a little bit then. He was asking if I do these things quite a lot, and it was like, yeah, well, I just got the tent like a couple of weeks ago, but it's something that I want to start doing because, like, we've got this amazing, amazing country on our doorstep. And yeah, it's right on our doorstep, and we can go camping, wild camping for free, and you can do that type of stuff. I managed to burn myself last night as well because the little got like a little insulator thing, not an insulator, of like, how would you call it? Well, it's like an incinerator type thing where you put kindling down at the bottom, and it's got like, it holds it in there and it burns really quickly, and then you get your fire, it keeps it all contained basically. But I had it on top of rocks, and then I was trying to move it a little bit because it was pretty close to the tent, and I was like, well, I don't want it to go all up in flames. So when I tried to move it, it total fell over, and then there's all the dry grass around there, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want a fire, I don't want a fire. So I picked the thing up, but kind of like, it burned my thumb so badly, and then I was stamping it all out, but I didn't cause a fire, thank God. But my thumb was throbbing like anything. Like, I mean, I've got like a lovely burn mark basically, where it's all like, it's blistered up basically right where it happened. But then I went and shoved it in a went and shoved it in the seawater, and then I didn't have my flip flops on, I just had my trainers, so I got like my pan and filled it up with like seawater, and then just kept on dipping my thumb into it. And then later on, when I was in the tent, just kind of like chilling, I was having a look online of what to do with burns, and it was like, after you flushed it with the cold water for like 15 20 minutes, then put like a bandage around it. So I took the first aid kit actually, which was handy, because if I didn't have the first aid kit, then that would have been an absolute nightmare. So yeah, I managed to put a bandage around it, and then this morning it wasn't so throbbing and all that, so it wasn't too bad, just a bit sore. And then yeah, and then that's basically been my weekend. It's been nice to get away, and nice to just recharge my batteries basically, and get away into nature and ground myself and do the cold water swimming. And I've done some meditating in my tent with like the waves lapping up, and I think that was probably one of the nicest things, was just hearing the waves kind of like coming up. It was really, really relaxing. I think I still prefer like river water though, like the sound of waves sometimes when they crash in and stuff is, yeah, it's a bit too loud. Whereas like running water, or like over a waterfall, you know, like a light waterfall, or just going over some rocks and stuff like that, I really like that kind of noise, that kind of running water kind of noise. But just sitting there last night, or just sitting there in the tent, and I could hear like the raindrops, like last night, or even this morning, the rain coming in, and well, not coming in, but I could hear it on top of my tent, and then you could also hear like the waves lapping in as well. It was really, really peaceful. Just what I needed, basically, just to kind of like recharge my batteries. Yeah, it was really calming. So I gotta tell you is all, kind of like, if you've got the chance to go and do it, then go and do it, because it's free. If you've got yourself a tent already, like, I mean, it's a lot difficulter doing it with kids. Kind of like, I would hate to think how much stuff I would need to take for just me and Max going down there, you know, like just so that he's got enough food and he's got enough games and he's not bored. And but I think down, I think with a beach and stuff, he would just be happy. He would just be in the water the whole entire time. But then that's quite difficult as well because you want to. I don't want to be in the water the whole entire time, so he wants to be in the water the whole entire time. But yeah, just absolutely amazing. Just, I definitely think that I'm going to be taking Max down there. The only bad point was trying to take everything back up this morning. I was absolutely sweating buckets, carrying everything back up the way. But I mean, it definitely wasn't as bad as when we went and caught when we went and camped at Loch Kinnard. That was so difficult because of all the crap that we had. Because we had like, how many kids was there? Five kids. I mean, you can imagine just the amount of stuff that you have to take for five kids, like all the juice and crisps and sweets and entertainment so that they're not bored, and all the extra clothes just in case something happens. And yeah, solo camping was definitely a lot easier. I just had like a couple of packs of pasta and some boil in the bag rice, and I had well, four bottles of water, big, you know, like four big bottles of water. And then I had cut up some carrot sticks. And I made some hard boiled eggs. And yeah, that was me sorted. I had some crisps, which is bad. And then yeah, I had some of those knockoff Kinder Bueno things that you get from Lidl's and Aldi's. They were munching. They were good last night when I needed a bit of sugar. But yeah, just that, just so peaceful, so nice to get away just by myself, not have a care in the world, sit there in the glorious sunshine with an absolute stunning view. And as I said, Friday night after I woke up from my stupid migraine, and being able to see the stars and the planets and watch the International Space Station and all that kind of stuff, it was just, yeah, just surreal, basically. Just thinking how you know, like grateful, just gratitude, just total gratefulness of I can't believe this is on our back doorstep, and I can't believe we've been able to do this. It is absolutely amazing. So yeah, I am very thankful that I managed to find that spot and that nobody was camping in my spot that I wanted to camp in, and I got a signal, and the weather was absolutely glorious the whole entire weekend. Apart from today, yeah, Sunday. But yeah, just absolutely amazing. I cannot recommend it enough. And if you are on the northeast of Scotland or anything like that, I would highly recommend going and checking that beach out because it is a gold mine. I don't think many people know about it. That's where the gentleman who I was speaking to this morning, he was saying it's not that busy. He was like, I thought it would have been busier. There was tons of people coming down with their paddle boards and guys with their kayaks as well. Oh yeah, I spoke to a couple of guys who were from Fraserburgh, and they had like an inflatable kayak that they came out and then they were giving it a go, and they were going sailing around on the kayak. A boat came into the harbour bay as well. And yeah, just loads of stuff's happened basically. It's been quite a jam-packed weekend of sitting around in the sun and then going for a couple of little walks. Well, not little walks, they were quite tough walks, but yeah. And then speaking to the people who spoke to me and just relaxing, just having that relaxing time, not a care, you know, like not having to think of what was happening next or anything, just knowing that this is where you were meant to be. And that was it, you weren't going anywhere. And then my little small tent, total held up, it was quite nice. I had like the single blow up bed, I didn't need to take the double duvet down with me. I mean, yesterday it might have been a bit better because it was pretty chilly last night, but it was all good, totally all good. I can't believe that I went and done it, basically, that I've went and done the solo. But I think next time I would probably prefer somewhere that was a bit more secluded so that I can, so yeah, so that I could meditate without screaming kids and people talking, and then hopefully the gentleman behind me, like at night time, he was totally snoring. That does my nothing. I'm glad that I got to go to sleep though. But yeah, again, I just meditated before I went to sleep. Just cleared my mind, listened to the rain, well, listened to the waves lapping in. Just absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. I really cannot recommend it enough. I really cannot recommend that beach enough. If you find Pennon, then just go across a little bit. It is absolutely gorgeous. Heading towards like Gardenston and Banff and all that kind of stuff. You will find it. If you have a look on Google Maps, I will even give you the spelling of it. So it's CullyKhan. So that's C for Charlie, U for uniform, L for Lima, L for Lima, Y for Yankee, K for Kilo, H for hotel, A for alpha, and N for November. And there's some photos on the Google Map base as well. But yes, I would highly, 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 highly recommend it. It is absolutely stunning. Totally stunning. You'd be amazed at how beautiful a spot that is. And most of that Moray Firth coast is absolutely stunning actually, because I noticed when I was driving up to get to see my teenager that all that bit around there is absolutely stunning, like Gardenston and all that. It is absolutely stunning. But yeah, I think I've rambled on enough. I've got my judgment day tomorrow. They moved the meeting forward because they needed to give us time to have a look at the jobs that were available. I mean, there was one up in Inverness for a team leader, but it was for the same company that I was working for, so there's no way that they were gonna take us on for that because they're just wanting rid. So tomorrow is judgment day at 1 o'clock. I think I will have probably recorded my podcast on the Monday morning, so you might need to wait until Wednesday unless I record it on Monday night to try and get ahead of myself, because I'm going to be quite busy on Wednesday going back out to my mum's to see the family friends. So you might get on. Oh no, it'll still be Wednesday. So yeah, so Wednesday you will find out what has been happening. And as I said, I'll need to wait until the end of the month before I've been fully paid and I find out what's happening there before I can tell what has been going on. But yes, that should be quite a funny episode when that happens. But yes, I hope that you have had an absolutely amazing weekend yourself. I hope it has been everything that you've dreamed of. I hope that you've been out. I hope that you've grounded yourself. I hope that you've had an absolutely fantastic time in whatever you've been doing this weekend. And remember, Monday isn't as bad as we all think it is. It is just your perspective. So change your perspective and you'll see. You will just see Monday really isn't that bad. The start of something new, a start of a new week. So remember, love big, be happy, appreciate the small things, be thankful for what you already have, and stop focusing on what you don't have. Remember, the aim of the game is to find happiness from within. Thank you very much for tuning in, and I will speak to you tomorrow. Peace and love, as always, you beautiful, beautiful people, and go and make Monday great, or I hope your Monday's been fantastic, or even if you're listening to this on another day, I hope whatever day you are listening to this has been an absolutely amazing day, or you are going to have an absolutely amazing day. And I will speak to you whenever you turn back on the EAEM podcast. Hopefully it's every day that you listen, but if you don't, then thanks for tuning in. Peace and love as always. Ciao.